Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. If you aren't standing, I ask that you stand with me. Oh, this is fun. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We'll start at verse 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. Amen. As you're turning there, I do want to take a moment here. And, you know, sometimes when you get up here and you're the one speaking, it's people like to have some fun with you, so. I want to thank you, Scott Graper. Right before I was about to come up, he shook my hand and said, you know what? Everybody's going to be looking at you. Thank you. I appreciate that. My pastor, our bishop from Milwaukee, before we moved here, had a saying that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I'm a testimony of that. Sorry, I'm taking a little bit too much time here, but I hate public speaking. And if it wasn't God's anointing, I'd be hiding somewhere right now. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 says, and now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of a very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured out this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Tonight I want to preach on the topic, my part in his story. My part in his story. Amen. You can be seated. Now this story we just read, it picks up the story of Jesus shortly after the entry into Jerusalem that Pastor Phil spoke on this morning. In his message, Pastor Phil spoke about what has been called the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I again want to give him some credit because he did an amazing and a powerful job of speaking about what it means to lay down our garments when Jesus is there. Because we need to give up our identity and we need to take on his. And after Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, we read, as we continue to read in the Bible, we read about the last sermons that he preached. How we read how that he laid bare the sins of the Pharisees, and he overturned the money changers in the temple. We read that he took some time and opened up a window into what the end times would look like to his disciples. And if you read that portion, you find out very quickly that we're right there in those times he spoke about. And when Jesus had poured himself into all these messages, into all this activity, we find that he retreated from the city of Jerusalem and rested instead in the village of Bethany. And it's here in Bethany that Jesus would spend the last of his nights on earth before going back into Jerusalem for the Last Supper the night before he was crucified. Here in that place of rest for Jesus, we read this story about his final anointing. John, in his account of the story, goes up into a little more detail in John 12, verses 2 and 3. It says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, And the house was filled with odor of the anointment. In the first part, we said it talked about how Mary had anointed his head. But Mary didn't just stop at anointing his head. But then when she was done anointing his head, she used the oil that ran off him to clean his feet with her hair. See, when we read this story thousands of years later, in a completely different culture, where to us the concept of washing a guest's feet is extremely foreign as they come into our house. I don't know how many of you do that. We do not do that in our house. Sorry to disappoint you if you come over. We live in a culture where the idea of pouring a bottle of oil over somebody's head seems more like an insult than a blessing. But even now, even in this culture, so far away, we can still feel something powerful that comes off this story. Something still speaks to us, even though the activities of the story really don't. There's a depth and a desperation that speaking personally, I know that I felt when I read this story, even if I didn't understand the activity that was happening in it. The action seemed foreign. But even if we don't feel the intimacy that was happening, we understand from the words of Jesus that there's a powerful message to be learned. In fact, Jesus validated this woman's sacrifice and ended all the commotion with his disciples with this declaration: wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there also shall what this woman did be told as a memorial for her. That's an amazing declaration. Jesus forever linked his sacrifice with the oil that this woman brought. And Luke clearly identifies this woman in Luke 7:37 as nothing more than a sinner. She wasn't somebody special. She didn't have any status. So what was it about her gift that made her forever a part of God's story? 2,000 years later, in a completely different culture, it's too easy to miss the message of Mary's sacrifice. When we look at the story, it's subtle and it's simple. But Mary, nothing more than a common sinner, wove her place into an eternal place in God's story, in the gospel story. And the beginning of her testimony was simply this, that her only concern was Jesus. See, in the story we read, we find two very diametrically opposed attitudes. First, we have Mary, whose single-mindedness really jumps off the page. She went and did what she felt called to in the face of judgmental and condescending disciples, questioning her and calling her out. She ignored her own social status or lack thereof. She didn't get any identification in the Bible other than her name and that she was a sinner. She was seemingly uninterested in the value of her sacrifice. When we look it up today, it's roughly equivalent to $30,000 or $40,000. But for Mary, none of that mattered because her sole attention was on Jesus. And it was on what she could do for him. Her focus was not on the circumstances that were happening, but on her desire to worship him with the very best she could give. In contrast, the focus of the disciples and the other guests was on her history and was on the cost of her sacrifice. They were critical while she was consumed with her Savior. They were counting the cost where she surrendered her all. Her only focus was on what she could do for Jesus, while the attitude of the disciples was about what they could get in that time. Now let's take a step back here, and before we become too critical of the disciples, we have to remember what they thought was happening. Jesus had just made his triumphant entry through the east gate, and by doing this, marking himself as the Messiah of Israel and the Savior. These men that had just been fishermen were now all of a sudden heroes and celebrities, shedding that life of being unlearned and uneducated. They now rode high on a wave of emotional pride and self-importance. And in the view of hindsight, we can say that this is shallow and myopic. But if we put ourselves in that situation and we were really honest, I doubt very many of us could resist the momentum of emotion and remain grounded and not be sucked up in the same things that they were. See, they were expecting Jesus to overthrow the Romans and reign as king. And they believed that their spot would be right next to his. They were a little wrapped up in their own press clippings. And this is why we find that so many of them fled in fear when Jesus turned himself over without a fight to be crucified. Because their whole worldview was shattered. Everything they thought was going to happen turned upside down. But jumping back to this part of the story, they still expected to be living as kings. And here was this unrefined sinner slobbering on the future king's feet and being irresponsible with what she had. See, as Pastor Phil spoke about, they had not yet fully surrendered their own coats, and when they were judging themselves more honorable than Mary's sacrifice. Let me say that again. They didn't have a good self-perspective, and they were putting themselves ahead of what Mary was offering. See, Mary gave while the crowd focused on what they could get. But in doing that, she forever wove her way into the Easter story because her only focus was on what she could do for her Savior. And listen, if we can tap into the same mindset, we can begin with the same intertwining of our lives with the story of Jesus. If we can put him first in everything that we do, our lives become part of his story. And that really is our ultimate goal for each and every one of us, or it should be. Listen, it doesn't matter what your neighbors or your friends think. When your focus is Jesus, those criticisms fade into the background. It doesn't matter what they say, what they do. It doesn't matter what the person next to you is doing right now. If you want to get to Jesus, they can't stop you. Listen, the corrupt society we live in has no power over connecting you with your Savior. They can't stop you. It doesn't matter how bad things get or what Hollywood tells us. If you want to get to Jesus, all you have to do is bring your sacrifice to him. Listen, it doesn't even matter what the spiritual people think about your sacrifice. The disciples were Christ's inner group, and they were the ones who were being critical. Don't worry about what you think the person next to you thinks. Don't let it stop you from taking the step that you feel God calling you to take. This is all about you and God. It's about weaving your life with his. Don't worry about being a sinner. Don't worry about somebody thinking you're going to be a sinner. Listen, and the reason for that is because everyone is, even if they forgot that they are. Don't let the voice of the crowd separate you from Jesus. Don't let it stop you from taking your step. Listen, it doesn't matter what your social status is or not, just like Mary. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. Pastor Phil touched on this morning, but it's not about what your race is or is not either. Listen, we have a very, very dear friend who chose to join the Marines shortly after 9/11. I stayed in personal contact with him when he went to basic and then he was stationed down south later. We called, we talked. Back in the day, we actually sent letters before emails. And then suddenly he dropped off the face of the earth. He stopped returning calls. He stopped reaching out. And it was about a year later that we finally met up with him when he came home for a visit. And we found out what happened. Shortly after getting to his new station, he did what he was supposed to do and he found a church and started going to it. But on one of his follow-up visits to that church, one of the leaders in the church pulled him aside. And because of his Hispanic heritage, he told him, "We appreciate you coming, but there's a church down the road we think you'd fit in better." See, the sad part of this story is my friend never made it to that church. He was so disgusted and hurt by what this person said, he would never set foot in a church again. We talked to him that day. After we talked that day, we were only able to touch base with him one or two more times. before we completely lost contact. And I will tell you that both Vaughn and I continue to pray for him. And I hope by this time he's gotten over that, not allow those words to destroy his sacrifice. There's simply no way to justify what that man said. And every time I think about it, it disgusts me, especially in the church, that this would happen. But there's something else we have to consider here. As much as I love my friend, he was responsible for his actions. Don't let somebody else's bigotry, ignorance, hate, or fear steal your sacrifice. Don't let their ignorance undermine your gift. See, like it or not, our world is filled with people. And if you haven't learned by now, but people are really dumb. That includes all of us. If you think you're smart, you just haven't realized it yet. If you let every knucklehead out there offend you and get you worked into a lather, they are the ones affecting you and not you affecting them. Don't let stupidity direct your life or define it. They are the ones that you're letting dictate your sacrifice. See, that's the power of Mary's oil. It wasn't bound by the ignorant. It wasn't held back by the bigotry. It wasn't restrained by racism, religiosity, or rank. The Bible says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God." Listen, it doesn't matter if I'm a knucklehead or not. I can't stop you from reaching the Savior. Your boss can't stop you. Your in-laws can't stop you. Your friends can't stop you. Your enemies can't stop you. It doesn't matter even if they're right or not. You control your own destiny. See, when Mary gave, it didn't matter what the crowd said. It didn't matter who she was or who she was not. Her sacrifice was still powerful. Because when we look at her, she was on the wrong end of all this, according to man. It didn't matter what the cost of her sacrifice was. She was still going to give it. Yes, when we look at it, the value of her sacrifice, it was great. But in the presence of Jesus, she understood the value of what she gave was nothing compared to what she was becoming woven into his story, into the only story that really matters. See, when we look at what the oil Mary used was, we find something interesting. It was called spikenard. And the properties of spikenard are known to both enhance the fragrance of what it's added to, as well as add an enduring power to the fragrance, to the smell of whatever it was. The sacrifice that Mary brought would both elevate the scent of her Savior and lengthen the scent of his sacrifice. Listen, this was more than just an anointing oil. It was, in the words of Jesus, a preparation for his burial. As she broke the flask and poured out her gift over the King of Kings, and as she used her hair to clean his feet, sopping up every ounce of that oil to make sure that her precious sacrifice was used only for a king. And her tears mixed with the oil of her sacrifice. Mary was emboldening and enhancing the most beautiful sacrifice this world has ever seen when Jesus went to the cross. She was emboldening the sacrifice of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The sacrifice for the sins of each and every one of us. The price to redeem us back to our Savior that not one of us would be able to pay on our own. Mary was making preparation for. See, we read the story when Jesus died, the soldiers guarded his tomb so that no one was able to anoint him. Nobody was able to anoint him for his burial. Nicodemus brought some spices, brought the spices of a king to be wrapped in the linen Jesus was wrapped in. when he was placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but aside from Mary's sacrifice, there was no other anointing given to the body of Jesus. Listen, Jesus didn't need Mary's anointing to die for our sins. But in her sacrifice, she forever linked herself to the cross on Calvary. You see, when Mary anointed Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, the ointment she sacrificed melded with the sacrifice of the Savior. And when she left that room, the scent of the sacrifice that she gave hung in her hair that she used to wash Jesus' feet. And Mary left bearing the exact same scent that Jesus bore on the cross and in his burial. Mary had literally became intertwined with the sacrifice of our Savior. Listen, as powerful that is, the anointing oil she used had another purpose. And it both tied her more closely to the story and more strongly made her a target of ridicule. Listen, sometimes as we go closer to God, we're going to make ourselves more of a target. If we're really willing to sacrifice everything, we have to be willing to make ourselves a light in the darkness. Sometimes light hurts. And our goal isn't to hurt anybody, but it is to shine a way. Even if people don't want the way. In the time of Mary's sacrifice, it was tradition for a bride to anoint the feet of her husband as part of her dowry for the marriage. So when Mary moved from anointing the head of Jesus to washing his feet, Mary moved past the death and the burial and forever tied herself to the full gospel story. Mary tied her sacrifice not just to the death, not just to the burial, but to the resurrected Savior and his bride. See, when she moved to the feet, she no longer faced just the rejection of the crowd. But as Mary moved to the feet of Jesus, she faced his rejection. Because now it wasn't about her and the disciples, it was about her and Jesus. I'm sure the questions had to go through her mind. Had she gone too far in her sacrifice? In fact, when we read the Bible, three of the gospel writers don't even record the fact that Mary washed Jesus' feet. They only talk about her anointing his head. It isn't until we read the Gospel of John, the one known as the beloved of Jesus, that he records this act of love. I'm sure her eyes were filled with tears as she did it. And I wonder if she even knew what she was doing as she bent down to wash the feet of Jesus. Or was she simply responding in a moment to the emotion and being directed by love? Not the love of a spouse, but the love for her Savior and for her Lord. So we know that Jesus did not reject her sacrifice. But when we read what he said, he did turn it back to Calvary. He did turn it back to the gospel story. The good news of his death, his coming death, burial, and ultimately resurrection. He linked it to his death because it was his death that would redeem his bride, the church. And hopefully that's you and me. See, the Easter story, it's coming up that we're going to be celebrating in a week. It mirrors the call that Peter would give on the day of Pentecost. Of death through repentance, burial through baptism in Jesus' name, and resurrection through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The gospel is ultimately reconnecting Christ and his church. That is the good news. That's the reason we're here. It's not just to sing songs or hear a message and go away feeling good. Our whole purpose is to reconnect back to our Savior. And this final act of Mary was a culmination that linked Christ and his bride. See, when Mary left that room, Her scent was now the scent of her Savior. Her sacrifice wasn't just about a gift. Instead, it was all about connecting together in a relationship. Mary's action would connect the bride and the Savior. When we look at what she did, Mary paid the dowry for the church to become the bride. Jesus paved the way to be able to connect with him. But there's still something required of us. We each have to be willing to give up and offer the sacrifice. Mary entered a room of skeptics, coming only to give a gift to her Lord. And in her giving, she left with her life forever changed. And in return for her gift, she paved the way to be part of his bride. And when we look at the story of Mary, she was given back much more as Christ was magnified and lifted up. And that should be the goal and the purpose of each and every one of us here. I'm beginning to close, and if the musicians can come, I want to share one more story. At a service similar to this in California, there was a preacher who preached out of the same portion of Scripture. And as he finished, there was a powerful move of God. And Dr. Janice Strohstrand, a UPC minister's wife from Ohio, she was scheduled to play and sing for the altar call. As she racked her brain trying to think of what would fit with this service, she couldn't think of anything. The altar call was given, and without a song, she simply began to play. And as God's Spirit moved, and she became moved under the anointing of God, she sang whatever words God gave her. And she would later write the words down and the music down. And CC Winans would record the song and make it the title of her CD, Alabaster Box. And the words of that song so perfectly speak to the heart of Mary's sacrifice. I've come to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. Listen, it's not about your neighbor. Don't let them bother you. Don't worry about what they're thinking. This is about you and Jesus. You weren't there the night that he found me. You didn't feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of my sacrifice, of what I brought and laid down, what I was willing to give up to be part of his story. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. Tonight, as you stand, I want to issue a challenge to each person in this place. At the end of this Palm Sunday, coming up as we celebrate the sacrifice that Jesus gave, I want to issue the challenge to you to bring your life and pour it out to him. No matter where you are in your walk with God, this is something we need to continually do. Yes, I understand your life is valuable. What you have is valuable. But when you allow your life to mix with his anointing, those tears that you shed become precious. The oil of the sacrifice that you're giving is powerful. And his love is real. You aren't just a byline in the story. You are a part of the story. Your life is interwoven with him. It's not just about observing. It's not just about doing this or not doing this. This is about a relationship with Jesus. Let his love touch you. Let it reach into your life. You can be part of his story, not just part of a church, not just part of the usher team, not just going out and doing outreach, not just a religious crutch, but be part of the bride of Christ. Listen, if you haven't experienced a death, burial, resurrection, tonight is your night. Tonight is time to be partake, make yourself part of this good news. Tonight you can repent. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. And if you haven't already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, then tonight is your night. But if you have, this message isn't any less important for you. See, we can get wrapped up in life, and we can forget about the cost of the sacrifice. That's why Paul said, I have to die daily. I have to repent daily. And I want to challenge you, make sure you're still under his anointing. Make sure you're still under his cover. Make sure you're still in that relationship with him, that you're still connected to his love. If you haven't felt that love in your life, then you need to reconnect with your Savior. If it's been a while, reconnect with him. This altar's open. And if you haven't been filled with the presence of God, come on down here to this front area, and God wants to fill you. We have people who want to pray with you. If you need a refilling, come down. If you need God's touch in your life, if you need a healing, let God's love and virtue flow into you.
She felt such pain, some spoken anger, heard folks whisper.